The Big Scary Show is sponsored in part by the following: Gantom Lighting and Controls, GANTOM, Gantom.com, and Dark Imaginings, Web Design, Changing Portraits, and More, DarkImaginings.com.
For the deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious, it's time for the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Jeff Davis.
And Chris Davis.
We're with the Davis Graveyard in Milwaukee, Oregon, and we're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, I'm Mark Dotson at the Haunted Forest at Grand Farms in Vaughan, Washington. You're listening to The Big Scary Show.
This is Brad from Fearlandia in Tigard, Oregon. You're listening to The Big Scary Show.
This is David D. Jones giving a big shout out to The Big Scary Show from Creatures of the Night in Westland, Oregon. The Big Scary Show, where the fear is real.
Hi, everyone. I'm Debbie Skewis from the Hillbilly Haunted House in Chatteroy, Washington. Thank you for listening to The Big Scary Show.
This is Ramis Latal from the Haunted Tent. Or Anton Thrall. We're listening to the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is the Othello Straw Maze from Othello, Washington, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, it's Princess Trainwreck. Nice to be here again on The Big Scary Show. And you guys may wonder why I'm here. Well, it's pretty simple. You may have heard that Badger recently went to the West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon. And well, let's be honest, he ate too many voodoo donuts and he drank too much of that coffee. And for the last 5 days or so, he's been kind of lying in the fetal position, shaking. I can't do a thing for him. Gladys is tending to him. But in the meantime, I'm doing the intro. So let's talk about the show. Storm's gonna be ranting on about something. I think it has something to do with orbs. You'll enjoy his rant in a haunt minute. Meet Hook Jim, aka the Unknown Scare Actor, for his tips and tricks segment. He's gonna talk about a very important subject, and that's dealing with hecklers. I know how to deal with hecklers. Do you? The Hauntstrumentalist, or Haunt Rocker, Jerry Vane's going to be bringing you some kick-ass music. Oh, it's so good, especially now that convention season's in full gear, build season's in full gear. Play his music, get you in the Halloween mood. We might have a gruesome giveaway winner, do we? Stay tuned to find out. We're not going to have a round table of terror this show, primarily because Badger brought back so much interesting stuff from the West Coast Haunters Convention. He's got interviews on the floor. He's got some great costume ball interviews. Lots of cool stuff. And on a cool note, he was present at 2 check presentations. As you know, the West Coast Haunters Convention's a charity convention, and they gave out a few checks to some of the people that they're benefiting. Stick around, listen to that. You're gonna like it. So it's pretty much a show, all West Coast Haunters Convention, as far as interviews and stuff go. The Round Table of Terror will be back again. And of course, thank you Gantom and Z-Tag for this convention coverage. Without it, this may not be possible. Anyway, Princess Trainwreck here. I'm going to have to go help Gladys get Badger up and into bed, get something into him, not coffee. I think he's off that for life. And that sugar high, ugh, stay off the voodoo donuts, Tubby. Anyway, here's the show. Enjoy.
It was intense.
When the apocalypse comes.
When I was running, I completely dodged an entire crowd of nine.
Will you survive?
You gotta act quickly.
Z-Tag brings the undead to life.
If you take your time, it's gonna be too late.
In a real world challenge.
Next thing you know, you turn around and there's zombies.
Of speed, agility, and survival.
This is an awesome birthday.
It's zombies against humans.
Buildings, it was mazes. They're jumping out of everywhere.
Wear your Z-Tag badge with its flashing LEDs and get into action.
It really felt like zombies were coming at you at the end when you see the red tags everywhere.
Hunt or be hunted. Take your pick.
It was a game you had to find.
Red light for zombies and green light for humans.
When you're like walking in and all of a sudden zombies come by.
Your survival instincts will be put to the ultimate test.
I would play Z-Tag again.
Do you have what it takes? Hashtag play Z-Tag.
Let's chat. Hello, everyone. Drew Badger here. We are live at the West Coast Haunters of Engine Costume Contest. Having a good time. A very familiar face, but yet unfamiliar one here. I guess you could only be described as Goth Tater. How you doing, sir?
Hey.
And that's about all we'll probably get out of you, right?
I mean, is this going to take very long? I've got to go to Hot Topic and shop.
I aware. You have a message for Jerry Vane.
Yeah, I'm coming for him.
And what will you do if you catch him?
I haven't figured that out yet.
Well, we'll keep up on top of this developing situation here. Thank you, Goth Tater. I'll let you go on back to what?
Hot Topic.
Hot Topic. That way.
All right.
Store's closing soon. Once again, Drew Badger here live, West Coast Honors Convention Costume Ball, Portland, Oregon, and we are out.
Calabrese, Ghost Wolves, on the Big Scary Show. Midwest Haunters Convention is back June 9th through 11th at the Greater Columbus Convention Center in Columbus, Ohio. MHC is the largest Halloween show of its kind in the U.S., dedicated to all haunters, actors, and enthusiasts. Open to the public, MHC features a trade show, loads of education. The two-day bus tour is back. Yes, you heard that right. The two-day bus tour is back, and loads of entertainment over the weekend. If you need more information, go to www.MidwestHauntersConvention.com today.
Hello, everyone. Drew Badger here. We're live at the West Coast Haunters Convention. Costume ball, having a good time. Look who it is. It's our good friend from Distortions Unlimited, Ed Edmonds. Ed, your impressions of the costume ball so far?
There's some very, very creepy characters running around here. Some of them have given me the eebie-jeebies.
I saw a very beautiful alien space chick with a big helmet that you put on here for a photo op there. Looked like you were going to die of oxygen deprivation, but a lot of sci-fi characters out here, too.
Yeah, there's very good characters. The space gal, though, she's a knockout.
She's something.
Space.
There you go. You know, I'm not even going to try to get some kind of witty retort in there. But it looks like the show's been good. I know you've got a display out here, and I know you're going to be at Midwest Haunters Convention, so people, go to Midwest, since it's West Coast is already over. Go check out Ed at coming to the Midwest Haunters Convention and anything else this year.
Nope, just yay!
There we go, Ed. I'll let you get back to your party here. Great talking to you here. My name is Drew Badger here at the Costume Ball, Portland, Oregon, West Coast Haunters Convention. We are out. We'll do both.
All right, so we're live here at West Coast
Haunters Convention,
2017.
It is
the eighth year in Portland, Oregon.
Yes, sir, it is.
How many years have you come to West Coast Haunters?
This is my first.
This is your first.
I had to wear the virgin hat the first day.
I have beat two people in how many years I've come now.
Woohoo!
Come to the show.
Yeah.
These aren't clean interviews for us.
So this is, by the way, Doug Shaver, VFX Creates, VFXCreates.com, a very, very interesting company with the big puppets and the really creepy laugh.
Oh, it's my laugh, too.
Yes, it is.
So,
which is creepy.
What's been your favorite part of the show?
This moment right now.
This is a pretty good moment.
Could not be better.
We're like interviewing inside, and I just keep going back to Inception because this is like, blow your mind here. Anybody watching this thing? Oh, someone's watching.
Oh, BigScaryShow.com. Please check us out. We love the haunt industry. We love Inside the Haunt Industry. We love all the podcasts and the other video things and all the YouTubers, the vloggers, anything that benefits the industry. It's a lot of fun, right?
If you are in haunt, yes. If we're not a family and we can't make everything work together,
why should we get involved in petty feuds over, well, you're better, no, you're better, no, you're worse, no, you suck, and... You know, that just,
we
that
all
benefits
suck,
them
we
well.
We all suck the same amount. Wait.
Oh, that came out wrong.
I keep saying I come
That's
to the show.
That's okay. Nobody's going to watch. Oh, we do have people watching,
There's
but people nobody's going to listen to this anyway, so.
But it's not
so
my mom.
So we're good.
Hi, not my mom.
Oh, God, I hope not.
I believe that one.
Are they really? So.
Yeah. My,
there
my
you go,
family.
Folks.
My
well, I look is a very tall guy over there, but we won't talk about him, and that's pretty cool. But anyway, Big Scary Show is its first time here at the West Coast Haunters Convention, but we've seen you at a lot of these other shows. Where else are you going? You're going to Midwest? Are you going to Scare LA? You're going to Midsummer
Man,
Scream?
So
you're going to Monsterpalooza? Where the heck are they sending
we're
you next?
We're doing Midsummer Scream. We're doing Midwest Haunters Convention. I don't know if we're doing Scare LA yet.
Maybe if there was somebody here that knew somebody that was in the Scare LA hierarchy, you know, I got invited to teach at Scare LA by somebody. It's who you know.
I've been invited several times to teach at Scare LA. I'm doing a small horror show in St. Louis.
Nice.
Called, I don't even know what it's called. We just started and it actually has Grandpa from... the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is going to be at it, but it's got like two
John
bands
Dugan.
Playing. Yes.
John Dugan's a nice guy.
And they're going to be showing Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But anyway, I'm bringing my art to that, so it's going to be artguydesigns.com.
Very nice.
That I'm actually representing at the show as well.
Nice plug
and
to throw
then,
in there. We love it.
You know.
What about when we were at dinner tonight with Ed Edmonds, name dropping, and he was talking about Monster Days coming to Greeley, Colorado.
Yes,
that's
so
an interesting concept. Apparently they used to have this thing, but now they're bringing it back.
So we're not necessarily breaking news, but
we have breaking news.
Sort of breaking. So Ed started talking about it. I actually learned about it from him back in January when they started talking to the town in Greeley. and they're going to do Monster Day. And from what he's told me, it's a thing kind of like Don Post used to do this, and it was called Monster Days. And
Don Post Jr. has been on our show. Great guy. Again, name dropping.
So he's actually done this thing with Greeley where Distortions Unlimited is located, and they're going to actually have, it's August 24th, I believe. They're going to be having all these monsters and different stuff, and they're basically going to have...
Have people
like
walking around in monster costumes, you know?
Make a monster day in Greeley, Colorado.
And all I can see is a handful of people walking lockstep down the street with little Sally puppets and scarecrows and carrying the dinosaur baskets and all that. How cool would that be?
It would be awesome. So that, you know, you might see VFX out of Greeley, Colorado in August. I don't know yet.
Unfortunately, all my weekends in August are booked, so no Colorado trip for me because I'm teaching... Going to places like Scare LA and other things like that. What can I do?
We're going to plug all of ourselves and other shows at West Coast Haunters right now, which is awesome.
So let's do all the plugs while we're still here. What is the name of your companies that we can shamelessly plug here?
So we're working with Inside the Haunt Industry, VFXcreates.com.
I like that.
ArtGuyDesigns.com. We team up with Von Caron. Von Caron Productions, VonCaron.com.
A fine sponsor of the Big Scary Show, BigScaryShow.com.
I also team up with stuff for, I don't even know who else we do stuff with anymore, Necrotic Creations.
A fine sponsor of our show.
We actually made a big giant cock in a box, which is with their giant chicken, and it lunges at you.
Yes, chicken, I might say.
Yes, they do have the man-eating chicken.
The man-eating choking chicken.
So many companies that are at this show that I am friends with, and everyone should be friends with because we're all fun. Tom here from Von Caron. Say hi.
Hi.
Fine sponsor of the Big Scary Show, too.
He helps us with our psych ward, Sally.
Oh, yeah, she's great. And my favorite toy.
This is his favorite girl.
And he's a personal friend of Alice Cooper.
Girl.
Thank you, Tom.
The last interview on Inside the Haunted Street with Tom never made it to air. My shirt was shown and some nipples were touched. It never made it on anywhere.
You know, that's a shame. I'd almost pay to see that.
Awesome. This is awesome.
All I can say is BigScaryShow.com. Please check us out. Episode 132 just went live today. So go like us on the Facebooks. Follow us on the Twitters. Our gruesome giveaway is this episode. Maybe you can be a winner. Once again, Drew Badger, Doug Schaefer.
VFXGrace.com. Inside the Haunt Industry.
Here at the West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon. My name is Drew Badger for the Big Scary Show. We're out.
Listen to this show, you must love Halloween and all things haunted, right? So if you're a pro haunter, home haunter, or just plain old love Halloween, you need to be at the Halloween and Haunt Fest Show 2017 in Dallas, August 26th and 27th. Go to halloweenandhaunt.com for more info. For discount code, go to bigscaryshow.com and save on the summer's hottest ticket. Halloween and Haunt Fest 2017. The only thing scarier would be to miss it. HalloweenandHaunt.com.
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Hey folks, Drew Badger here with Deadline News for episode 133, and we start out with some Midwest Haunters Convention news from our fine sponsor, the Big Scary News, Froggy's Fog. Froggy's Fog is thrilled to be the premier show sponsor of the Midwest Haunters Convention once again. We're bringing some fun and amazing offers, so clean out your hearses and make room for these cash and carry deals. Place your order now with coupon code MHC2017PRE through June 4th to ensure we have the items you need. We'll make your pickup super simple at booth 103. Why wait for the deals? Shop now at froggiesfog.com or call 1-877-376-4499 to speak with one of our expert staff. Remember, use coupon code MHC2017PRE to unlock all of our show special pricing and to have your items shipped straight to your door. But hurry,
The pre-show offer expires on June 4th. Go to froggiesfog.com for more information. We have a little news from the Cinema of Horrors haunted attraction in Kelso, Washington. Do you or do you know of somebody who operates a food cart or food vendor booth? The Cinema of Horrors haunted attraction is now accepting vendor applications for our annual haunted attraction in Kelso, Washington at Three Rivers Mall, produced by Treadway Events and Entertainment. Cookin' Country 105.5, KUKN, Home Team 1490 KLOG, ESPN Radio, and 101.5 The Wave. Last year's sponsors included Metro PCS, Foster Farms, Country Financial, Dutch Brothers Coffee, and others. We had nearly 3,000 people last year, and we're estimating approximately 3,500 this year throughout the entire duration of the event. We have 2 to 3 exclusive spots available, which will be advertised digitally on our website, which had over 15,000 visitors last October, and our social media. Vendors who are available for the entire duration will be given priority. These spaces are located outside during the event due to fire requirements, and spaces are $40 a night with a $100 deposit, which is refunded after the event as long as you show for all your scheduled dates. Those dates are October 13th and 14th, 20th through the 22nd, 27th through the 31st, and times from 7 to 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday, 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Sunday through Tuesday. If you have questions, please contact them at brandon@treadwayevents.com, or for additional information, visit one of their sites, cinemaofhorrors.com or treadwayevents.com. There's some convention news from FearCon in Salt Lake City, Utah. FearCon is a unique, one-of-a-kind event that celebrates all things Halloween, horror, and the fantastical. Our focus will be to provide live, interactive entertainment throughout the entire show. We want people to feel like there are things to do and see at every turn. Not only will FearCon provide incredible activities, but we will require our vendors to dress up and add to the show. Expect a great interactive experience with exhibitors that will be dressed up and entertaining. Our goal is to make FearCon your new Halloween tradition. Happening October 28th and 29th at the Salt Palace Convention Center in Salt Lake City, get more information at FearConUtah.com. We have an update from Days of the Dead, Indianapolis. It is with great pleasure that we announce the addition of actor, director, and producer Matthew Lillard to the guest roster for Days of the Dead Indianapolis, happening June 30th through July 2nd at the Wyndham Indianapolis West. Matthew Lillard is perhaps best known to fans for his role as Stu Macher in the Wes Craven classic Scream, as well as his leading roles as Steve-O in the cult fam favorite SLC Punk. He has also appeared as Shaggy in the live-action Scooby-Doo film, as well as such films as Serial Mom, Hackers, and 13 Ghosts, just to name a few. Matthew Lillard joins George Romero, Sting, Haruo Nakajima, Sid Haig, Bill Moseley, Lita, Steve Dash, and many more guests to be announced as Days of the Dead returns to the city where it all began for its 7th year in a row. Tickets for Days of the Dead Indianapolis are on sale now at daysofthedead.net. In this news from the Gettysburg Ghost Exchange in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Please join the Gettysburg Ghost Exchange on June 17th as they present the Haunted Mansion Lockdown in Kreskaville, Pennsylvania. The mansion house was built in the 1890s, originally a high-end hotel and bar with 26 hotel rooms, attic, and basement. There was a documented murder in one of the rooms, but you have to investigate and tell us which room it is. The basement has chased out many plumbers who have fled and left all of their equipment never to return for them. Do you have what it takes to investigate the Mason House? Over 6,000 square feet of history and mystery. It's only $75 a person. Call 717-420-5791 for your ticket. And bring your blow-up mattress and pillows. Continental breakfast is included, so if you have what it takes to be locked down overnight, join us. Get more information at their Facebook page, facebook.com/largest paranormal store in Gettysburg. Sounds fun. We have this news from the Dark Harbor Haunted Attraction in Long Beach, California. Dark Harbor, SoCal's ultimate and most terrifying haunt, is set to return for another horrifying year, and you can be a part of the blood-curdling action. The Queen Mary's Dark Harbor is the only Halloween attraction in Southern California that's authentically haunted. If you aren't afraid of things that go bump in the night, we want you. We are looking for hundreds of energetic and committed performers to help bring our guests' wickedest nightmares to life this October. Do you like all things ghoulish, gruesome, gory, and macabre? Audition for a role for the 2017 Dark Harbor cast and crew. Save the dates, 7 to 10 p.m. on July 14th, 11 to 5 July 15th. Can you scare the ship out of us? Become a maimed cast member, including lead characters Maze Monsters and Street Monsters, backup cast, sliders, and specialty acts. Examples: jugglers, acrobats, aerialists, contortioners, hand balancers, human blockheads, miscellaneous sideshow performers, snake charmers, etc. Get more information and register for that audition at queenmary.com/events/auditions. We have a little news from the Dark Barn Haunted Attraction in Rutledge, Tennessee. Well, it's official. It's time to prepare our haunted barn for guests this October. 5 months may seem like a long time, but believe me, fall will be here before we know it, and Avondale Haunted Barn will be ready for a new season of scares for our loyal patrons. With that in mind, we're already putting together our list of Scream Team members and are always looking for new talent. If you enjoy making grown men scream and causing adults to wet themselves uncontrollably, and let's face it, who doesn't? Then please get in touch with us ASAP. We will be having volunteer sign-ups soon, and the date will be announced on our Facebook page, so please let others know and be sure and like and share our Facebook page. We need to hit 1,000 likes this year, so share, share, share. For all you eager beavers out there, you may submit a volunteer application via our website at thedarkbarn.com or facebook.com/AvondaleHauntedBarn. And finally, we have some news on a supernatural crossover with Scooby-Doo via DreadCentral.com. It's been confirmed that the worlds of Supernatural and Scooby-Doo will be crossing paths in a special one-off episode for the former show's 13th season next year. Supernatural stars Jared Padalecki and Jensen Ackles announced the episode at the CW's annual upfront presentation, according to IndieWire. The duo stated that their characters would be venturing into, quote, the fully animated world of Scooby-Doo, unquote. There's no confirmation on when the episode will take place within the storyline of the 13th season, but I'm sure that'll change soon. Supernatural 13th season synopsis is, the exciting journey of the Winchester brothers continues as Supernatural enters its 13th season. Sam and Dean have encountered every kind of supernatural threat, facing down monsters, demons, and gods, saving people, hunting things, and keeping the world safe. In the show's 12th season, the Winchesters were reunited with their long-dead mother and joined forces with the British arm of the Men of Letters. But things turn from bad to worse with the return of Lucifer and the surprising revelation that the devil is now expecting a child. Now Sam and Dean find themselves facing a creature of almost unimaginable power, one that could save the world or destroy it. Supernatural is from Warner Brothers Television in association with Wonderland Sound and Vision, with executive producers Robert Singer, Andrew Dabb, and Phil Scrigsia. Supernatural airs Thursdays from 8 to 9 on the CW. Can't wait to see that episode.
Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. Ha 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 ha!
Want to take your haunt to a new dimension of terror? Then let Dark Imaginings conjure up some ghoulish graphics and web design services for your home, haunt, or crypt. Since 2007, professional and home haunters alike have trusted our award-winning and dedicated skeleton crew to make their nightmares come true. Whether you need graphic design services, logos, websites, spooky visuals, or creepy changing portraits, we can help your business look its scary best. To see more of our products and services, drop by darkimaginings.com. Let us help you get ahead of your competition.
Creature Feature, American Gothic, on The Big Scary Show.
Dark comes alive with unsavory beams. teeth and rattling bones. Out in the blackness, your nightmares grow. Dreadful thoughts make your blood run cold. The witching hour has taken hold. Deep in the bleak recess of your soul is where the terror makes its home.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger. We are live in Portland, Oregon at the West Coast Haunters Convention. We're talking to vendors. We're talking to people who are teaching, and we're talking to all sorts of folks. And, you know, one of the things that I love to do is read. The last show we had out there, we had Chris Kullstrom talking about her new book. Got a couple of authors out here who've written some books at West Coast. One of them is Bernard Finnegan, who has a new book called When Halloween Was Green, a novel. Kind of takes a little bit of old classic Halloween from thousands of years ago and kind of combines it with modern haunted house stuff. Mr. Finnegan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine today.
And from what you were telling me off the air here, sales of the book have been doing very well at a show like this.
Well, yes, this is exactly a show that I made this for, the Halloween entrepreneur who's mad that Halloween only takes place one day out of the year. I mean, Christmas gets 12, and we only get one, and that just isn't fair, and somebody had to do something, so we love shows like this.
So what was the inspiration for the book? Was it more of the Irish legends of how Halloween began, or what made you decide to write a book? Give a brief synopsis of the book, and then how you kind of came up with the process to create it.
Yeah, this is the synopsis and the inspiration are almost the same thing. We're in kind of a culture war right now where Halloween is being dumbed down. Halloween is full of superheroes and princesses, and that's not what it used to be. This holiday used to be as scary as a heart attack, even in the 1970s and 80s, not so long ago. It's gotten real kitschified lately, and some that just doesn't sit well with some of us. It's even worse now as you go back. So I was thinking, Halloween's origins, you know, it's not 100 years old, it's a couple thousand years old, goes all the way back to Ireland and all that, and they had monsters back then we've totally forgotten about now. Vampires and werewolves, those are all somewhat relatively new speaking. They've come in the last couple hundred years. They're from Eastern Europe. But what were they afraid of way back at the beginning? I was curious to go back to research all the monsters that we've totally forgotten about. And what would those monsters do if, after so many millennia of sleeping, they wake up in our modern age and see what we've become, what happened to their holiday, that all the old traditions that used to keep us alive have been dumbed down, how jack-o'-lanterns and scary costumes, those are all dead and buried now. And so these new scary monsters be kids in a candy store. And who is left to protect us? Who's the only social group left that's been holding the standard bearer that says Halloween is supposed to be scary, supposed to be not supposed to mean all that? And that's the haunted house workers, the actors, the home haunters, the cosplayers, people who are constantly pushing back and say scary, scary. And these are our
basically us is, yes, who you're talking about.
Exactly, so. Us. Yes, at the time, but we deserved a book that used our unique skill set to save the world. So.
Now, this is a work of fiction, obviously, but there is a lot of basis in early factual legend. You're saying, like, from thousands of years ago, the ancient Irish monsters, as you call them. Does it go back to pagan times? Does it go back to the legend of Samhain and things like that? Or do you go back even further to, like, the dawn of civilization?
Which, when it gets hazy towards the beginning there, a lot of the Halloween monsters, there are sort of, I guess, flashback sequences. They take place in pre-Roman times, kind of 0 BC. The Irish had a hero called Finn McCool, and that's the anglicized version of his name, but it goes back to, they have a lot of legends around him, and on all of his big heroic actions always took place on Halloween, and everything Irish took famous took always took place on Halloween. Invading army invades is on Halloween. Warring fairy armies fight each other. It's always on Halloween. It goes back to those days, kind of sorta. And the monsters which you may have heard of, but they've been Americanized, as they were, a bit too much. Like, we didn't invent the headless horseman. That was the Irish did. The Washington Irving just appropriated. He's going through Irish legend, and he says, "Oh, that's a good monster. I think I'll use that for my story here."
And so many people think that the headless horseman is a Disney creation, but whoa, don't they know?
Yes. The actual name of the monster is called a Delahunt, and he was the Irish version of the Grim Reaper Death. And if you rode around on a horse and he was headless, but he carried his head in his hand, and if you were going to die, he marked the people who were going to die by pouring a bucket of blood over their head, and say, "That's too good just not to make a whole novel out of him." And he's not even my grand super mastermind villain. I mean, he's just one of the supporting characters.
And you know, it's a shame we just don't have enough haunted houses out there where people dump real buckets of blood on people's heads.
Well, there's a few. I know there's some places. There's those full contact places on the coast. You have to sign that waiver before you go away, and it takes 8 hours to go through. And as I understand it, no one's ever.
Yeah, there's that one down in San Diego that we're not going to talk about on this show. We've had him on the show. We love Russ. He's a very interesting fellow and a very interesting haunted attraction. I'll never go through it ever. But you know, how did you say? Well, let's take it from 2,000 years ago and let's bring it into modern times. It's a really interesting juxtaposition of modern and ancient.
Yeah, we don't know where a lot of our own modern-day monsters come from. Most of the big classics were invented only in the last 100 years. You know, Frankenstein came out in the 1890s, and Dracula's only 100 years old. But the real old-school slashers, there was a monster a couple thousand years ago, somewhat recently. He was called the Red Cap. He was famous for... He was just a totally bloodthirsty, aimless killer. He had to keep a mask or a hat on his head, totally drenched in human blood at all times, or he would die. Now, that has passed down in some back-of-our-head cultural memory to all of our masked killers these days. Like, Jason wears a mask, Leatherface wears a mask, Hannibal Lecter wears a mask.
Where
the mask is more famous than the monster is. We've had these monsters all of our lives. They keep changing over the centuries to adapt to the time in which they live, and the Headless Horseman was the same way. He existed a long time ago, and then until Disney got a hold of him and put him in not only that cartoon, but Delahunt was in that Disney movie with Sean Connery, Darby O'Gill, and the Little People a long time ago,
right.
before he was James Bond.
That was like a 50s or 60s movie there too.
That was the end of his scariness. But a lot of the monsters we have now, they have hidden back of the mind memory, something we're trying to remember, but we're just filtering it through our modern sensibilities.
Sure.
The Headless Horseman was one, and they had their own version of every culture has a vampire of one kind or another, and the Irish had one that would suck out your soul, not necessarily your blood, and they had everybody has their version of the swarm of ghosts rising out of the graves. It just looks different from age to age, and we call them something different, but it's the same. It's the same thing, just adapted to the age.
How's the convention been for you as far as sales of the book?
Well, this is in fact my target audience, and everyone's. I'm doing real good here. I am doing above average for what sales are doing here, and it is available. I won't even know how my sales are until I get home. This is available both in a paperback here and on ebook on Amazon. I just give away the QR codes, and they can buy them in the privacy of their own hotel room later on.
Oh, so nice. So for people wanting to check out When Halloween Was Green by Bernard K. Finnegan, I assume it's on Amazon. Like you said, you can buy it at a convention like this, preferably on the West Coast because that's where you live. Or are they in bookstores, or where can people get copies of this book?
Amazon will be your best bet. It's also on BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay.
But mostly it has to be special ordered at the moment, because we're still the struggling small-time artist. We got to work our way up one step at a time, and here's how we do it. You put out there and you be the extrovert and says, "You're going to love this book because it lets you guys be the heroes." We're haunted house entrepreneurs, connoisseurs, haunted house experts are the only people left in our in our dumbed down age who are scary and who can save the world against the old school monsters, severely old school monsters.
I love the concept. You know, we're so vilified in haunted houses, but yet here we get a chance to play the hero. So check out Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, it might be BN.com, not sure. The name of the book is When Halloween Was Green. The author is Bernard, spelled Bernard for you American audiences. Bernard Finnegan, always a pleasure to talk to new authors here on The Big Scary Show. I wish you nothing but success with this book. I hope you sell millions of them. Can't wait to see what else you have in that head coming out on paper next time. And once again, Drew Badger here. We are live at the West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon, and we are out.
You know how it is. You're alone. There's the internet. You start clicking. You're looking for something necrotic. Some things you see, your grandmother wouldn't call necrotic. Click on some other sites. Whoa, that is just way, way too necrotic. But then you find Necrotic Creations. Necrotic. You may not know what necrotic means, but you know it when you see it. Get Necrotic. Necrotic Creations. Shop anytime at necroticcreations.com.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We're live at the West Coast Haunters Convention Costume Contest. Look who has just walked past, our very good friend, sponsor of the Roundtable of Terror, Necrotic Creations' very own Robert Santos. Robert, you come to this show a lot. How do you like this show overall? I'm having a great time. Looks like everybody here is having a good time. How's the show been for you and Stacy?
The show's been pretty good. This is one of our favorite shows. Not only is it a charity that benefits the School for the Deaf, but it also is just a family-friendly atmosphere. These people are my family. And so everybody treats me with respect, and it's just, man,
are you saying we don't disrespect you in other aspects?
No, but there's a different level between the business and then something that's fun.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This is a fun show.
You know, for those of us who live on the East Coast and the Midwest, we think Midwest Haunters Convention is our family con, where we come see each other once a year, and it's great. For the guys out here, I guess West Coast is that family gathering. You hadn't seen some of these folks in probably a year, and it's just a great time had by all.
It is. I mean, for us, since we're Californians, we have a lot of Californians here. Not only are the Canadians are here and the
Oregonians,
native
and the
Oregonians,
yeah. The Idahoans, and
yes.
I don't know what they call those, Montanans,
yeah.
And things like that.
So when we go to faraway places like St. Louis, I mean, there's some Californians there, and we know them. But it's not like here. This is our place.
Yeah, it's a different vibe at Transworld. Let's face it, it's a business show and customers and profits and all that. This is the one where you let your hair down, you relax, you have a good time, you sell a few things, you talk to a few people, you go out to dinner, and you party all night at a place like this.
Exactly. I mean, this is it. We have an awesome hospitality suite. There's very friendly people that help put on the show. It goes for a really good cause. And that's why we do it. That's why we're here every year. We've only missed the very first show. We've been here. We've had the same booth every single year. And it just gets better and better every year.
Have you met Shirley, Ed Roberts' alter ego, out here at the front door here? She's a very interesting creature who's helping everyone get in.
I said hi, but then the flirting started, and I was like, all right, I got to go.
Yeah, we better not let Stacy catch us seeing all that. So anyway, once again, necroticcreations.com. Check them out on the website. They've got some big news coming up that we'll reveal to you at a later time. But it's always good to see you guys here.
What?
Keep on rebuilding them Volkswagens, man. Those are cool. What you got in your arsenal nowadays?
It's still the three cars, so we've got the 60, we've got a 61, and a 64.
Well, you only had two when I came and saw you a couple years ago, so, you know, you've added to it, and very good, and let's keep building those things.
Thanks.
Always fun. Once again, Robert Santos, Necrotic Creations, necroticcreations.com, fine sponsor of the Roundtable of Terror on The Big Scary Show. My name is Drew Badger of The Big Scary Show here at West Coast in Portland. We're out. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger. We are live at the West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon, at the Costume Ball, and I appear to be with a large ceiling fan. How are you, sir?
Just swinging and hanging around.
That's a brilliant costume, I must say.
You can't compete with these Haunters. They're coming in with Hollywood-level effects. The best I can get away with is a clever pun, and that's the best I'm going to do.
You work for a haunt?
We run Creatures of the Night out of West Lynn. We raise money for the Parks and Rec Department, and you should come. It's the best outdoor haunt, and it's because we think it's the only outdoor haunt in Oregon right now.
Given the weather outside, I'm sure that's a huge risk you run.
Yeah.
We've gotten back to our native Oregon dialect here. What's your name, sir?
David D. Jones.
Excellent, sir. Lovely to have you here at the Costume Ball, the world's largest ceiling fan. Give a plug out for your websites for the haunt and everything. Give a chance for people to come out and check all that out.
Look us up on Facebook, Creatures of the Night, West Lynn. We were one of the only haunts to accidentally start an urban legend of what happened to Mary in Mary S. Young Park.
Okay, we can't let it go dead at that. Okay, what's the urban legend? I'm from North Carolina and not from Oregon, what's going on?
It's a state park here in Oregon. Nobody knew who Mary S. Young was at all. The Historical Society, nobody. So we created a Lovecraftian abduction story of a young girl being taken as the whole town turned into evil cultists. And that story stuck. We had maybe 700 square feet in a little tiny contest, and the stories started to spread by the children and high school kids. And we accidentally found out March of the following year when the city kept getting complaints about what happened to that poor girl and is that what really happened to Mary. We couldn't have been more excited if you just kissed us.
That's one of the most brilliant stories I've ever heard. I love this. Once again, plug your website. Let people come up and see if they can figure out what happened to Mary.
Look us up on Facebook, Creatures of the Night, West Lynn. And have a happy Halloween and fabulous hauntings.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us here on The Big Scary Show, the world's largest ceiling fan, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Drew Badger for The Big Scary Show here at the West Coast Harness Convention. And we're out.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
All right. So last week, President Trump went to the Middle East, doing president stuff, and one of the photo ops was, and I kid you not, him and a bunch of other world leaders and stuff getting together and putting their hands on a glowing globe orb. And yeah, it is about as creepy and weird as any picture of several world leaders and billionaires together in a room putting their hands on a glowing orb. This actually led to some absolutely fantastic comments on, the internet, Twitter, memes. Google it. It's hours of entertainment. Great stuff. My personal favorite is people who photoshopped Sauron from The Hobbit in there. That was great. I'm sorry. The Eye of Sauron, they photoshopped into it. There's one where somebody put in Saruman, and he just blends right in. I mean, it's you wouldn't even notice. It's absolutely fantastic. And the one that did the Dungeons & Dragons cover with the picture, great. So, yeah, take 5 minutes. Go Google that and check out some of those things, because it is hilarious. But it does have me wondering to myself, where is the haunted attraction orb? Why do we not have some sort of orb of leadership or haunting or something? I mean, you would think of an industry like ours, we could build something like that in our sleep. But probably have and can. It can be a pumpkin, it can be a skull, whatever. Glowing orb, it would be awesome. Why don't we have one? This thing should be making the convention circuits. We should be having pictures of this, everywhere, where people are putting their hands on the glowing haunted attraction orb of whatever it is, the orb of haunting. Somebody's got to make this happen. Now, granted, maybe it is out there. Maybe it's parties I'm not invited to, and it's happening in back rooms or something. Or maybe there has been one for years, and like Chad Savage stole it, because it would just seem like something he would have someplace just stolen away. Oh, yeah, no, I got that, you know, party too hard after a convention, and, well, it's just sitting around, so I took the Orb of Haunting, which, you know, would be fantastic and true. So, you know, get out there, you know, spend some spare time. Let's all make our own Orb of Haunting and take our pictures with it. I want that plastered all over the Big Scary Show Facebook page. Here's your Orb of Haunting picture. This sucker better make the rounds at MHC. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hi, this is Josh Gates from Travel Channel's Expedition Unknown, reminding you to send all hate mail to storm@bigscaryshow.com.
Hello, everyone. Drew Badger here. We are live at the Costume Ball for the West Coast Haunters Convention in beautiful, rainy, and cold Portland, Oregon. But, you know, it may be cold and rainy outside. It's warm and cool inside. And I have this person that I'm talking to, a cool con chick. Might go by the name of Shirley. We're not sure. How are you, sir?
I'm Shirley. I'm Shirley Wonderful. How are you tonight, Drew?
You have a vague resemblance to Ed Roberts, the organizer of this thing, but yet maybe you could be his twin something.
Twin sister. We're twins.
Okay, I'll take your word for that. How's the show been going so far?
It's been fantastic, Drew. Attendance is up. We're having a great time. We've been able to give away $3,000 in grants this year, according to Ed. Just fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know where Ed is tonight. He's missing in action. Maybe he's still getting on some kind of costume or anything, so that's why we're talking to Shirley here. So $3,000 in grants to help people who work with autistic kids and deaf children, and it just sounds like another successful West Coast Haunters Convention.
Absolutely, Drew. We want to thank everyone for coming and supporting the cause and getting together and networking with each other and continuing to grow the family that is Halloween Haunters.
Absolutely. We're having a great time out here once again. Drew Badger here live at the West Coast Haunters Convention. Shirley, give my regards to Ed wherever he may be, and if you see him later tonight, I'm going to go back in here and check out some more of these really cool costumes going out here. Thank you, Shirley. And my name is Drew Badger, as mentioned before, and we're out. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger. We are live here at the West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon. We're chatting with all the cool kids, all the great folks who do the makeup, who do the animatronics, who build, who sell, who do all this great stuff. Haven't seen this guy in a couple of years. Very famous makeup artist and other things, Mr. Dutch Bahari. Formerly of Skin Wars, now does a lot of other cool things. Dutch has been having a good time at this show, according to him. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. What a great show this was this year. Got a chance to teach people some fundamentals and basics, and then still had enough time to hang out and party and catch up with all the familiar faces.
The infamous 13th floor at the hotel was hot and heavy on Friday night. You were there regaling some very interesting tales. You had the crowd just basically eating out of the palm of your hand, it looked like, with some of the stories.
Yeah, well, you know, at a home hunters convention, you're dealing with people that kind of rub elbows with people like myself and possibly even movie stars, people that are in the biz that they, you know, that inspire them. And so to kind of tell them stories from the trenches about what it's really like to be, you know, on movie sets or to do a music video for somebody, you know, it inspires them to keep pushing and coming to places like this and taking the classes and getting involved in what a convention like this has to offer.
And if they're not careful, they might get involved in the party planning industry.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, the party doesn't ever seem to really stop until literally you're packing your car and packing up to go home.
There you go. So the show's been good for you. You had a lot of classes, a lot of filled up and everything, and had a little bit of a social life, as you say here, too. What's next? Where are you heading at this point? Future conventions where people can come out and take your classes, meet, and all that good stuff?
Well, they're adding a new track to an old convention at Sinister Creature Con. They wanted to branch out from just traditional special effects makeup, and they wanted to embrace the body paint culture. And so they're going to be having body paint competitions, as well as myself and a few other artists in the industry are going to be teaching workshops and boot camps on how to become a better, more effective body painter. So I'm really looking forward to that one. And in between now and June 10th, when that convention is, I'm going to be catching up on some tattoos.
You're giving or receiving?
Oh, yes. I've been a tattoo artist now for a little over a year, and I've got a backlog. So last month was a month-long engagement where I had to paint literally every single day, 40 days straight. Wow. And coming right off of that, had a giant Microsoft gig that we had to have a huge staff take care of. And then literally drove here 3 hours later from north of Seattle. So it's been a busy spring for me. And I'm really looking forward to a little downtime and getting some of these tattoo concepts off the back burner. People are kind of blowing up my phone right now, man. I want to get this tat done. So, yeah, I'll be back in the tattoo parlor tomorrow and trying to get caught up.
So for people wanting more information about Dutch Bahari, maybe there's appearances coming up between now and June or beyond, or maybe has a tattoo idea they'd like to get a little ink done, how can they get a hold of you, websites, social medias, etc.?
Well, my brick and mortar is located at the Cascade Mall in Burlington, Washington. My company's name is Contours Effects, and you can find us online at contourseffects.com with all kinds of information on upcoming things I'm going to be at, trade shows I'll be doing at on through the year, as well as classes I'm offering from my own location.
Excellent. Dutch, it's always a pleasure to have you here on the Big Scary Show.
Thank you very much.
Wishing nothing but success, and in case one of us ever needs some ink, we might have to give you a call there.
Absolutely. I'll hook you up.
All right, man. And we all know Dutch is our hookup. Once again, Drew Badger here live, West Coast Harness Convention in Portland, Oregon, and we are out.
Do you want online ticketing but get scared by service fees? HauntPay is scary simple ticketing and payments for your haunted attraction. With features made for haunts, including timed ticketing and repeat time slots, variable ticket types, bundled and combo tickets, social media discounts, and more, HauntPay is designed with haunted attractions in mind. Check them out at hauntpay.com and start now for free.
Enter, if you dare, haunters, into the lair of Meat Hook Jim. As he brings you scare acting tips and tricks.
Greetings, haunters. The unknown Meat Hook scare actor Jim here, and on this episode, I'm going to touch on a subject I touched on briefly in a previous episode, and that's hecklers. Now, if you're in the house, in a scene, the chances of being heckled are a lot less because there's a lot of throughput going on, and let's face it, a lot of these customers aren't that quick-witted. But this is more directed to the queue line actors. And you guys have all dealt with it. I know you have. I've dealt with it numerous times. All these hecklers think they're funny, but we can always turn it around on them. You know, one of the ones that drives me crazy the most is the teenage girls, the preteen girls. Oh, you're cute. Oh, let me get your number. Well, my number is 5. And that's what I give them, 5. And they stop and they look completely puzzled because I gave them a number 5 instead of a 7-digit phone number. It seems to elude a lot of them, which just, I giggle on the inside because they have this confused look on their face. But there's other ways to do it too. There's other ways to diffuse people. I was talking to one of the Koga hosts, Storm, the other day. When he was working the queue line, he worked with a skull that had a switch for a light to make it light up as if it were talking to him. Now, he would formulate the questions in his mind and flash the light accordingly, and then he would respond verbally. And for an example, it would be something like some guy just you know, giving him a hard time about his character and just being a real jerk about the whole thing. And Storm would look at the skull and make the eyes flash, and he would respond verbally along the lines of, well, you know, I know he's a jerk, but not everybody can be saved or helped or whatnot. A poor example, but you get what I'm coming at here. This was a way to diffuse the situation, because all of a sudden he's turned it into a humorous situation in which a lot of his friends may end up laughing at him because of the responses of Storm and talking to his skull. There's another instance where I was working the queue line behind the Dent Schoolhouse at the now remembered detention hall before it was changed, and it was the end of the night. There was one couple left. I was stalking around as the dean, and I came up behind them trying to scare the woman. Well, she turned around, she grabbed me by the face and kissed me, and for a half a second I lost my composure, but in that half a second I also regained it, pulled away from her, licked my lips, and said, "Taste like chicken." Her husband died laughing. Another amazing queue line actor for witty comebacks is, of course, Tater. I've watched Tater just rip somebody from one side and down the other for whatever heckling comment that made. He's a joy to watch. If you've never watched him in action, you know, get a chance to, because he's fun. When you rip on these hecklers, it's not going to be scary in most cases. It's going to be humorous. But if you can't scare them, entertain them. That's it for this episode. We'll see you soon.
And remember, Haunters, if you have your own scare acting tips and tricks you'd like to get out to the masses, email me, usa@bigscaryshow.com.
The stench of death in here is overpowering.
Gravetone Productions, Walking Corpse, on the Big Scary Show.
It was dead, but it opened its eyes and tried to move. They're just dead flesh. The body should be disposed of at once. Soak them with gasoline and burn them.
Well, how long after death then does the body become reactivated?
It's only a matter of minutes.
That dead bodies will continue to be transformed into the flesh-eating ghouls. All persons who die during this crisis, from whatever cause, will come back to life to seek human victims unless their bodies are first disposed of by cremation.
Burn them.
are just dead flesh.
Ready to dress up your show? Need to pump new life into old props? Just want to show something no one else has? Do what Alice Cooper, Distortions Unlimited, and A-list haunters all over the world do. Wear Von Karon. Durable, handcrafted, dependable, year after year. Von Karon. When you scare enough to wear the very best. VonKaron.com. VonKaron.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, let's see if we have a May winner for our monthly gruesome giveaway sponsored by Screamline Studios. If you've been listening for a while, you know how this works. We asked a question in the last show. Of all the entries we got, we randomly picked one out of those. And I believe we have the random caller on the line. Random caller, what is your name? Where are you located?
Derek Vitus from Cleveland, Ohio. I do Spooky Ranch and Hauntville Haunted Houses.
Oh, excellent. And just for a point of order, I have been to both Spooky Ranch and Hauntville, and they are excellent haunts. And keep up the good work with that, Derek. You know how this works. Yeah, you know how this works. I'm about to ask you a question. Hopefully you know the answer. Do got to get some legalities out of the way. So first question, did we contact you in any way, shape, or form beforehand other than to tell you when to call in?
No, I wish you could call me sometimes, buddy. But no, you didn't.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that off the air. Second question, did you try to influence us in any way with, you know, money, jewelries, bribery, kind words, anything like that?
No, I was thinking about it with Gus up to it, but no, didn't influence you.
There we go. All right, Derek Vitus of Cleveland, owner of a couple of great haunts up in that area, for the May Gruesome Giveaway, I believe the question was, what place did Chris Kullstrom in her book say was her favorite to visit?
I believe it was Transylvania.
And Transylvania is absolutely the right answer. If you were listening to the Roundtable of Terror last show, she enjoyed Transylvania the best. So congratulations to Derek Vitus of Cleveland, Ohio. And once again, you do own a couple of good haunts. Give a plug, give a website to those two haunts for us.
We got SpookyRanch.com. This would be our 27th season at SpookyRanch.com. And Hauntville Haunted House would be EliriaHauntedHouse.com.
EliriaHauntedHouse.com.
Big Scary Show rocks. You guys are great. I really appreciate what you guys do. You make my long drives go real quick.
Oh, well, we do appreciate that, Derek. Thank you so much. Hang on the line for just a second so we can get some shipping information, or we might just have to hand deliver it to you at MHC. We'll talk about that off the air in just a second. Once again, congratulating Derek Vitus of Cleveland, Ohio, the May winner of the Gruesome Giveaway, sponsored by our good friends at ScreamlineStudios.com. Here we go. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger. We are live at the West Coast Haunters Convention in beautiful yet rainy Portland, Oregon. And down in sunny Southern California, down Temecula way, looks like there's going to be a brand new haunt for everybody who likes going to haunted houses in the sunshine and everything. I got Zach here, one of the Bloodshed Brothers of all things, opening a brand new haunt. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good. You used to be associated with another haunt, and you are now no longer associated with that haunt, and you're going out solo or along with your brother there, and you're going to be starting up a brand new haunt. Tell us about it.
It's called the Hyde Street Massacre. It's pretty much based around a serial killer. He loved Halloween so much that he went crazy and started like kidnapping trick-or-treaters.
Oh,
and
cool.
So you're walking through his house on Halloween night.
So will there be like little like trick-or-treater bodies hanging all over the place or something?
Yeah. All of our actors are...
I didn't expect you to say yes.
All of our actors are essentially his trap trick-or-treaters, so they're all kind of wearing more vintage-y type costumes, and because nice. The backstory takes place during the 1950s.
Okay, sounds like fun. Now you were associated with, we'll say, you were with Field of Screams in Lake Elsinore. Good haunted house, from what I hear. Never got a chance to see it, but did see the mini haunt they had a couple of years ago at Scare LA. But how long were you there, and what made you decide to just take off and go solo, so to speak?
They hired us in 2011 to run their event, and so we worked there for 5 years, and we just felt we outgrew them creatively, got to where we just wanted to, we got our foot in the door, and we wanted to just go do our own thing.
Nice. But you don't have a permanent location as of yet.
No. Last haunt season, we did the High Street Massacre at Equestrian Center, and now we're looking for just a building to be in to do it.
Okay. Are you looking to buy a permanent place, or are you just looking to rent something out, or do you know yet?
Right now we're looking to rent. We're trying to team up with a local nonprofit that has ties to a building, and their nonprofit is pretty much runs the local community theater. And so we begin our actors through them as well.
Very nice. Are you going to be considered a charity haunt, or are you going after that evil dollar?
The evil dollar.
There you go.
Yeah, we would donate money to the nonprofit at the end of the season.
Very nice. Tell us about the Bloodshed Brothers for people who don't know what you guys do.
The Bloodshed Brothers are my brother Jeremy and I. We did our first haunted house in 2000 in fifth grade. And did a haunted house every year since at our parents' house up until 2010 when we got hired at the stadium. And pretty much Bloodshed Brothers just came from, we were looking just for a name for, like, online avatars and stuff, like on Haunt Forum and Halloween Forum. Like, well, what should we call ourselves? And
I was going to say, Bloodshed's not your last name, actually. So.
Yeah, we're the Ball Brothers, but we wanted to keep the B, so Bloodshed Brothers.
Yeah, it does kind of sound better than Ball Brothers, no offense. And,
yeah, no, yeah, okay. You know, school is rough.
I can only imagine. So anyway, look for Hyde Street Massacre coming somewhere in the greater Temecula area in 2017. Do you have a website, social media, or anything like that where people can get more information at this time and follow your progress?
Yes. The Haunt website is HydeStreetHaunt.com. ST, not street spelled out, so HydeStreet.com.
And it's Hyde like Mr. Hyde.
Yes. HydeStreetHaunt.com, or just search the Bloodshed Brothers on any social media platform and we'll pop up there.
Excellent. Zach, it's always a pleasure to have somebody here getting ready to take that big step and open their brand new haunt. I wish you nothing but success. I'm sure we'll see you down in Southern California for midsummer and all that kind of stuff. And we'll be looking for Hyde Street Massacre coming to Temecula, California. My name is Drew Badger in Portland, Oregon, for the Big Scary Show, and we are out. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live at the West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon, and being so close to the, shall we say, neighbors to the north, you get a nice contingent of the Canadians. They do come invading us south here. Maybe we need to build a wall. I don't know. But anyway, well, of course, we don't want to do that because we love our Canadian friends. We used to go up there all the time and check out all the cool stuff, drink a lot of beer, and do lots of low-cost medications, shall we say. But anyway, one of our fine Canadian friends here, Lady Smith from Heward's Haunted Manor in British Columbia.
That's correct. Lady Smith, British Columbia. It's a family home haunt that we do. Charity haunt that we raise money every year for youth groups and local charities in the area.
How has the convention been for you? I know you've had a large contingency here following you around a lot on the trade show floor.
Well, it's actually been awesome. It's my word for the day because things have been so great. People are so friendly with us. They're encouraging us to be here, making sure that we are seeing everything, getting gooped at the haunted house. That was awesome again. My word of the day. What can I say?
There you go. And I was in your room earlier tonight and got made an honorary hoser, apparently. So what privileges will that get me north of the border?
Well, to begin with, you'll be allowed to come over.
Well, that's always nice.
And you get to come and actually partake of our maple syrup, our traditions of jumping in cold water, polar bear swim, of course.
Nice. Which is in July?
No, in December.
Oh, sure it is. And it's frozen. You can't get through it then.
And we cut it. We do have chainsaws after.
That's right. You have a lot of lumberjacks up there.
That's correct. And you get to partake of our poutine as well. So all these
not the ones, not the stuff with mozzarella cheese, the real squeaky stuff.
Oh, the real stuff, real curd.
Absolutely, can't do it without that. So, what's the name of the haunted attraction that does such good work for everyone? And if you have websites, plug away.
Well, it is Heward's Haunted House. We do have the Facebook page under the same name, and we do have videos on YouTube, but we don't actually have a website yet.
Facebook counts as well as anybody else. That's what all the kids are using these days.
That's true. And we're going to be doing a Twitter account eventually as well. So once we do, I'll get the word out.
And what's the name of the town again?
Ladysmith, British Columbia.
So if you're up in the Ladysmith area, or you're a member of the CHA or not, and you just want to come out and check out a really cool home haunt along with a charity home haunt, which does very good stuff for the community, check out Heward's Haunted House.
That's correct.
On Facebook, and look for their Twitter account and all that other cool stuff.
Thank you so much for having me.
Always a pleasure to have our wonderful neighbors to the north here. Come down to the beautiful West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon. This is Drew Badger for the Big Scary Show. We're out.
Are you afraid this haunt season? Afraid of long lines of dissatisfied customers just at your ticket booth? Afraid of all the processing fees and hassle with credit cards? Are you afraid to make that jump into online ticketing? Well, take the leap. Ticket Leap. Ticket Leap will give you online options for your customer. Beautiful event pages to give every single ticketing option you have now and loads of possibility. Smart tools to spread the word, engage with your customers, and connect to social media with great, simple payment processing and the friendly customer support to go with it. Do things you haven't dreamed of. Hey, what's a selfie ticket? Check out TicketLeap.com. They're going to show you what to do. And no haunt's too big or too small for them to process. You're going to have a beautiful event page, even if you have a home haunt. Hey, they have options for free events that you may have. And what better way to collect donations for a community? Tickets under $5. The fee's only 25 cents. Find out what TicketLeap has to offer to you. TicketLeap.com.
Greetings, Frighteners, and welcome once more to the Weister's Haunted Vista. Here we are. It's Memorial Day weekend. June is nearly upon us, meaning the Midwest Haunters Convention is as well. And I am generally looking forward to this one in particular. I'll be on vacation for a week. It's my 50th birthday that week as well. I'm trying to remain positive on this. Give me a break, will ya? But being as I will be at the Big Scary Show booth a bit more this year at Midwest Haunters Convention, I sincerely hope a lot of you will come up and say hello and have a chit-chat with me. It's a great pleasure to meet all of our listeners. Anyway, being that we're at the halfway to Halloween mark, well, actually we're past the halfway mark, work with me here. But being on this occasion, I thought I'd do a little piece on some of the more favored films here in our household that sets the mood, as it were. Also remember that these are in no particular order, and all have one thing or another to recommend them, and these are just my opinions, people. Don't get a lynch mob after me if you disagree with me.
Ah, shut up, will you?
Not gonna happen anytime soon. So, with that in mind, let's start with Let the Right One In from 2008. What happens when the neighbor next door, an innocent-looking little girl, is a bit more than she seems? This Swedish vampire melodrama gave the genre a healthy kick in the behind, focusing more on the relationship aspects of the characters rather than recycling the gothic shtick. It's beautifully filmed, paced slow and quiet like a long winter's night, which the film's pretty much set in, punctuated by bursts of violence. And by the way, avoid the American revamping Let Me In Like the Plague. I really enjoyed this film because it really turned the heads of everybody, because we were in the midst of the Twilight thing. Oh, God, please, no more Edward and Bella. But anyway, moving on, I would have to pick 2003's Freddy vs. Jason. Now, I've never been a big one for the slasher flicks of the 80s, but I always kept my finger on the style's pulse. Additionally, a lot of my friends love those flicks, so I saw most of them whether I liked it or not. But why this film? Simply put, it's a wild, over-the-top love letter to the fans of the genre. Just about every cliché you could squeeze into one of those is here. Do people's veins really squirt like a garden hose when slit? And it's just plain old fun. I mean, there's terrific action, and the confrontations between the two characters do not disappoint. Tearing into each other with such gusto, it's difficult to say who'll come out on top. It's pure, joyful, silly, 80s loving entertainment. Don't miss it. Next up would be 1996's Peter Jackson film The Frighteners, probably the most pleasant cinematic surprise I had all that year. The film begins as a horror comedy and quickly evolves into something much darker. Michael J. Fox's character of Frank Bannister, a con artist slash psychic investigator with genuine abilities, is drawn into a murder rampage with historic and paranormal implications. Fantastic CGI for the time, and Dee Wallace Stone gives a magnificent frenzied performance in the film's second half. On a side note, the Mutton Birds perform a terrific version of Blue Oyster Cult's Don't Fear the Reaper over the closing credits. Well worth the price of admission. The film is silly, it's fun, and at the time, quite scary. And on the heels of that, I have to give kudos to 1991's The Addams Family. And while not necessarily Halloween-themed, this film is just a wickedly piece of ghoulish fun, with inspired casting that captures Charles Addams' vision for his characters far more succinctly than anything that ever followed. Raul Julia is deadpan funny as Gomez, Angelica Houston is charmingly dry as Morticia, while Christopher Lloyd chews up the scenery as Fester. Always good for a sly, slightly sinister giggle. Anybody who's been listening to my segment for the past few years knows I have to put in 1954's original giant monster classic, Godzilla, or as the Japanese say, Godzilla. Don't laugh. Compared to his successors, this is one mighty grim picture. Japan is the only nation to ever have had atomic weapons used against them, and Godzilla is representative of that. In other words, he is us. Yes, the effects are dated, but still gorgeous in their finer detail. Godzilla himself is a remarkable creation. There's something distinctively Japanese about him, a trait shared with few of the other Toho beasts in the canon, maybe aside from Mothra. I grew up on the American version with Raymond Burr, but if you want the full impact, I highly recommend the original Japanese print, subtitled. And following on the heels of that would have to be The Howling from 1981, one of the defining lycanthropic flicks of that year. Further up on this list is another, that delivers the scares while winking at the audience quite a bit. I mean, a resort colony for werewolves? Loosely based on a semi-sleazy novel by Gary Bradner, the film is loaded with reference and in-jokes. Many characters are named after horror film directors, and look for cameo appearances by Roger Corman and the late Forrest J. Ackerman. The wolves themselves have a somewhat comical big bad wolf appearance to them, and the stellar cast makes it all work somehow. Dee Wallace, Patrick McNee, Kevin McCarthy, John Carradine, Slim Pickens, and Dick Miller all bring something unique to the table. The transformations are eye-poppingly detailed, and the film has one of the funniest closing lines ever. Have to give a shout-out to 2012's The Woman in Black. Daniel Radcliffe, fresh off of his streak as Harry Potter, plays a young man haunted by the recent passing of his wife, and circumstances lead him to a house which is genuinely haunted. This is Hammer Films throwing its hat back in the ring to give it another try, and it is a genuine piece of slow-moving, suspenseful eeriness. Don't watch this one alone. It gave me the creeps in the worst way. Hollywood has more than butchered most of Stephen King's works, but in the case of The Stand from 1994, a made-for-TV dramatization of one of King's longest and most beloved tales, it was handled with grace, style, and aplomb. A military biological weapon gets loose, a souped-up version of the flu, no less, and decimates the world's population in the space of one summer. The survivors rally into two camps, one good, led by Mother Abigail, the other evil, led by Randall Flagg, the Dark Man. Events lead to a final climactic confrontation. This 8-hour miniseries, the only way the novel could effectively be done justice, by the way, succeeds and satisfies on so many levels, thanks in no small part to the amazing cast. Gary Sinise, Rob Lowe, Molly Ringwald, Ray Walston, and even Mr. King himself. Richly textured and worth multiple viewings, this didn't get out of my VCR for the most of 94. Flashing back to 1972 and The Night Stalker, the fountainhead for the much-beloved and equally beleaguered 1974 television series, this made-for-TV movie featured Carl Kolchak, a.k.a. Darren McGavin, a somewhat crusty reporter on the trail of what appears to be a homicidal maniac who thinks he's a vampire on the streets of Las Vegas. Or is he? The closer Kolchak gets to the case, the more the impossible seems quite likely. The film scored enormous ratings on its initial telecast, and with good reason. It's well-written and surprisingly effective, even by today's standards. And by the way, Janos Skorzeny, played by Barry Atwater, doesn't utter a single word to the entire film, a sly nod to Christopher Lee in Dracula, Prince of Darkness from 1965. Stepping back a year to 1971, there's The Omega Man. Richard Matheson's I Am Legend novel has been dramatized several times, first as The Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price in 1964, which is considered the most true to the novel, despite its lethargic pace, I Am Legend with Will Smith in 2007, and then there's this, with Charlton Heston in the role of Robert Neville. For me, this is the most satisfying of the trio. The tale of bio-warfare gone horribly wrong, and one man's struggle against a city full of plague victims known as the Family. Heston is fantastic as Neville, with his character's military ties giving him a terrific survivalist edge, while Anthony Zerbe is suitably malevolent as Family leader Matthias. Ron Grainer's soundtrack is truly gorgeous, completing this wild, violent, and strangely optimistic piece of early 70s Earth Day cinema. Heading out to the reaches of deep space and some more science fiction-orientated material, there's 1953's The War of the Worlds. H.G. Wells' definitive alien invasion tale has been done and redone to death over the years, but this version is the keeper. Aside from Orson Welles' 1938 radio broadcast, no one, not even Steven Spielberg, quite got the paranoia or the alien menace right like this. The Martian warship design, think of a manta ray with a cobra mounted upon it, is elegant and menacing all at once, and our brief glimpse of the invaders is suitably chilling. The sense of inevitable doom surrounding this movie is almost claustrophobic, as man throws weapon after weapon at the invaders, failing time and again until... Oh, watch it for yourselves, as if you haven't already dozens of times like me. 1982 brought us John Carpenter's The Thing, which was the gross-out flick in my early teens. The retelling of this 1950s gem, based loosely on Who Goes There by John W. Campbell Jr., written under the pen name of Don A. Stewart, featured an alien that could perfectly imitate anything it came into contact with, and, when discovered, could morph into the most horrific creatures imaginable to defend itself. Set in Antarctica, this film gives claustrophobia and paranoia a makeover like few before it. Kurt Russell is absolutely brilliant as foul-mouthed, attitude-heavy protagonist R.G. MacReady, who adds that just right irreverence to it all. And for the record, the 2011 prequel was dismal. Also in 1982, there was Creepshow. Who didn't read DEC comics growing up? Stephen King and George Romero certainly did, and this short story anthology is truly a labor of love. Five ghoulish vignettes all wrapped up around a backstory that a lot of us can relate to. What sets this film apart is the ensemble cast, E.G. Marshall, Ted Danson, Hal Holbrook, Adrian Marlborough, and many, many others. Sadly, one of the last of its kind to make any kind of box office impact, a forgotten breed. Incidentally, the opener, Father's Day, is one of the best back-from-the-grave-to-exact-revenge stories ever. I want my cake, indeed. Flashing forward to 1987 is Near Dark, and I caught this one purely by accident on HBO in late 1988. And was totally taken by surprise. Shot in the American Panhandle, it tells the story of a clan of roaming bloodsuckers and a young man's journey after having a particularly close encounter with one of the females. Gritty, dark, violent, and intense, with a standout performance by the late Bill Paxton as Severin. Check out his sadistically hilarious rampage in a small bar, which he refers to as S-H-I-T, Kicker Heaven. The film avoids the gothic claptrap, it still stays true to the legends, and the word vampire is not uttered once during the entire film. It's finger-licking good. Speaking of vampires, there's 1985's Fright Night. The vampire next door theme was a cliché by the time this gem came around, but this breathed fresh life into it. Chris Sarandon's Jerry Dandridge was suave, smart, and menacing all at once, a very 80s bloodsucker. While Roddy McDowall's Peter Vincent's evolution from coward to hero would be unconvincing in the hands of a lesser actor. And what can you say about Stephen Geoffrey's Evil Ed? So well done on so many levels, one of the defining horror flicks of the 1980s. By the way, despite its poor box office performance, the 2011 remake has a lot to offer as well. And then there's An American Werewolf in London from 1981. John Landis' horror comedy that will be forever remembered, if not for David Naughton traipsing naked through the London Zoo, for the amazing on-screen transformation of man into wolf, courtesy of makeup and special effects maestro Rick Baker. The film won the Outstanding Achievement in Makeup in the category's inaugural year, by the way. Still, special effects do not a great movie make, and this film has loads of dark humor, sly references, and a slick script that never takes itself quite all that seriously. Griffin Dunn is hilarious as Jack Goodman, David's rapidly decaying undead friend, bearing warnings of horrors to come. Along with The Howling, this film changed forever werewolf cinema and set the tone for special effects in the 1980s. And hang on to your butts, people, here we come to my top five. At number five is Trick or Treat from 2009. And what can I say about this that hasn't been said countless times on so many different radio broadcasts? Brilliantly written, paced, and executed, this stands as one of the definitive, along with Creepshow and 1972's Tales from the Crypt, horror anthologies. The vignettes are delicately intertwined and layered one upon another, each carrying its own little twist on breaking the rules of Halloween. While it didn't see theatrical release, the film has been enormously influential on the Halloween community and home haunters alike. You have no idea how many Sams, the film's mascot, I've seen in people's yards the past few years. Just unreal. At number four, it's a tie. 1968's Night of the Living Dead and 1979's Dawn of the Dead. And needless to say, these two films are largely responsible for the modern zombies' popularity today. The Walking Dead would not exist if not for George A. Romero's genius behind these. Literal volumes have been written about both films' significance, so I will just add this. Night is a study in intensity, with just about every social, cultural, and racial norm tossed out the window with dire consequences in the face of the uprising of the dead. And ever notice how Romero refers to them here not as zombies but as ghouls? Dawn is more of a comic book satire of American consumerism, with quite a few shots at the culture of the time as well. Both films push the envelope in terms of gore, Dawn in particular, which almost single-handedly made Tom Savini legendary in special effects makeup. I saw Night for the first time uncut on a local UHF channel in 1982 on an early May Sunday afternoon, and you bet someone got an earful for doing that. I just jumped out of my skin watching that film. My perceptions on horror movies forever changed. Number three would be 1999's Tim Burton epic Sleepy Hollow, an all-time favorite with us, mixing equal parts American folklore, Tim Burton's dark, quirky visions, and a healthy dose of affection for Hammer horror. Both Christopher Lee and Michael Goh, major players in Hammer's Cable, make appearances here as well. Taking the novella's original premise and inserting various twists and turns, Burton creates something quite different, with Johnny Depp's somewhat neurotic Ichabod Crane as a detective rather than a schoolteacher, investigating the murderous rampage of the Headless Horseman, and getting far more than he bargained for. The film's dreary, washed-out gray tones add to the gloom, and the horseman is beautifully realized, Christopher Walken giving a fantastically crazed performance, when he has a head on his shoulders. Simply put, Sleepy Hollow is Burton doing what he does best. At number two is 2004's Van Helsing. Yeah, I know. The film is a sloppy, cheesy mess with a ton of plot holes, but anytime you mix Dracula, Frankenstein, and the Wolfman together in one movie... Okay, it doesn't always work, but for a family fun sort of film, this is a lot to recommend it. Plenty of comic book style action, plus the sets and locales are terrific. Say what you will about Hugh Jackman in the title role, but Richard Roxburgh does an admirable job as Count Dracula. Just turn your brain off and enjoy the ride. And at number one, and if you know me well enough, this has come at no big surprise, is Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein from 1948. The creme de la creme, the big one. I never let a Halloween season go by without watching it at least once. Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, old dark castles, mad scientist laboratories, scheming females, and of course Vincent Price's cameo as the Invisible Man in the film's final moments. This film just screams Halloween to me, the perfect trick-or-treat goodie to close out the festivities. It's been said many times, but the film works so well as the monsters are played straight next to Bud and Lou's antics. It's also the funniest Abbott and Costello ever got. It also features an older Bela Lugosi firing on all cylinders, giving the performance of his life as Count Dracula. All menace and eyes and subtle threats, and he just steals the film. I'm very sentimental about this one. My father introduced me to the film, and he and I still watch it together and still laugh so hard together. And therein lies the real magic of the Halloween season, even at the halfway point. Comments, ideas, suggestions? Email me at ericbssh@gmail.com or look me up under Eric Weister on Facebook. I'll respond to both, but you're going to get a much quicker response out of me on Facebook. Also, keep an eye on my Blogspot page, the Weister's Halloween Haunt Journal. It hasn't been updated in a while, as I've been saying, but this summer will change quite a bit. I'll keep you posted here as well. Next time around on the Vista, well, we will see when the show drops, when I'm going to try and squeeze out a review of The Mummy, the new one with Tom Cruise. Yeah, that doesn't sit too well with me either, but we'll see what happens. As soon as possible, the film premieres June 9th, so we will see how it plays out. I'll also include some of my views on Wonder Woman, because it will have some horror elements as well. Until then, well, we shall see. It only depends on when the next show falls and how things play out. But until then, always remember, Sven Gullion, brush your fangs, comb your face, drink your milk before it clots, bite Mama goodnight, and always remember that I hid Jerry Vane's body, but unfortunately his fan club came after me afterwards and tried to kill me.
Now you see that evil will always triumph, because good is dumb.
Everyone have a wonderful, safe, and happy Memorial Day weekend, and I'll see you again in 2 weeks. Take care, all.
Here we go. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live at the West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon. And look who we run into. Last year when I was down doing the Los Angeles, Southern California shows, went to Knott's Berry Farm, hung out, and met this guy. Gave us a great tour of Knott's Scary Farm for 2017. Mr. John Cook, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Good to see you again.
It's a pleasure to see you, sir. We went through three haunts last year, and I assume all three of those were just incredibly scary and successful when they were in full season.
Yeah, those three are backstage mazes, and we get to put a little bit more emphasis into those since they're up year round. So yeah, nice. Those are kind of a couple of our heavy hitters for sure.
I will say that the dentist scene and the tooth fairy stuff, the piles of teeth were just really, really disturbing.
Yeah, those are actually real teeth that we molded and everything. So yeah.
That's part of what made it really disturbing when you told us, oh, these are real teeth.
Oh God.
So anyway. You know, we've mentioned it on the show. We've talked about it. Between Midsummer Scream and Scare LA, late July, I believe it's the Tuesday between those two, there is a very interesting symposium happening at Knott's Berry Farm with a lot of speakers coming in, another tour, and there's going to be a lot of backstage going behind and checking out all the new stuff at for the 2018 season. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so it was an interesting situation that happened with those two big conventions a week apart. Philip from the Haunted Attraction Network said, hey, you got a bunch of vendors in town. Can we give them a tour of Knott's? So we did it last year, got to meet you.
And it was a lot of fun.
Met a lot of people. Yeah, we had a good time doing it. So this year we're like, okay, well, maybe we can make a little bit more out of it. So we have Scott Swenson's coming in. Quan from Gantam's going to be speaking, and a couple other speakers are still being lined up, myself as well. And we just want to host a really fun little symposium for the haunt industry and be able to show off a couple new projects we've been working on right now. So.
And there'll be a little backstage tour of some of the behind the scenes at Knott's Scary for 2018?
Yes, sir, there will be. And hopefully a brand new maze as well that should be released at that show.
So what this is going to entail is basically we meet over at Knott's Scary, we get together, and we have lunch or something, then we listen to a few speakers, and then we get the run of the park until time to go see haunts.
Yeah, correct. The symposium ticket comes with the entrance to the park, so you guys will be able to run around, go on some roller coasters, check out some rides, yeah.
It's a fun park. It's got a lot of history involved. I believe sliding may or may not have been invented there, depending on who you talk to.
100% was. came out of Knott's Scary Farm. A couple of our sliders, our street talent at the time, were bored on a rainy day. They put on some volleyball knee pads and started baseball sliding. Somebody else came with skateboard knee pads, and all history from there.
And there was a great documentary about that called, was it Sliders of Ghost Town that came out last year?
Sliders of Ghost Town. You documented the history of sliding and then what it has become today.
It's a fascinating thing. For people wanting information on this symposium, is there a website available yet, or how can people get information to sign up?
I believe the information's live on the hauntedattractionnetwork.com website.
Okay, we'll check that out. And, of course, as we get more information, new speakers and all that stuff, we will absolutely relate that to you. John Cook, awesome. It's always a pleasure to talk to you here.
Great to see
you. My name is Drew Badger. We are here at the West Coast Haunters Convention at the Costume Contest, having a great time, and we're out.
CreepyCollection.com. The most disturbing, realistic, handmade props and animatronics for the horror industry. Now featuring FearFlex technology. Voted best zombie props of 2011 and 2012. CreepyCollection.com. For for all your gore and more.
Hello, everyone. Drew Badger here. We are live in Portland, Oregon at the West Coast Haunters Convention. And, you know, we've had Ed Roberts on many, many times talking about the West Coast Haunters Convention. It is a charity convention. They benefit a whole bunch of really cool things, help a lot of people, all that good stuff. Ed, you know, you've got a check to give away, it looks like, here.
Yes, we do. One of the key elements about West Coast Haunters Convention is that we give grants to professionals that work with deaf and or autistic children. And today we're giving a check for $661 to Angie Harrington from Northwest Regional Programs. Angie, thank you for all the work you do. We're really thrilled to be able to give you this money to help youngsters. Tell them a little bit about what you're going to be doing with the money, Angie.
And thank you so much for donating this. What we do, we are creating kindergarten transition kits for some of our kids that are that have ASD or deaf, hard of hearing. And what these kits have are like social stories and books and activities to help them prepare to transition into kindergarten. And it's kind of a visual pack so that they can see it, use it, and then and be able to transition very smoothly into kindergarten.
That's fantastic. So if those of people that don't understand what ASD is, can you tell people what ASD means?
Autism disorder spectrum.
Right. And that's great. You know, so you're working with preschool children that will be transitioning into kindergarten. Is that correct?
Correct.
Oh, that's great. So congratulations. Thank you for applying, and we're really glad to help.
Oh, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Drew, thank you.
Absolutely. And this is just, again, one of the main reasons why the West Coast Haunters Convention is here. You know, Ed and his fine staff doing the good things for the people with the autism, the Oregon School for the Deaf, all the great things that the West Coast Haunters Convention does. Thank you, Ed. Congratulations, Angie.
Thank you.
Good luck with all that. Once again, Drew Badger here live at the West Coast Haunters Convention, Portland, Oregon. And we are out. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live at the West Coast Haunters Convention in beautiful Portland, Oregon. Cold, rainy, as I guess it should be. And, you know, again, as we've mentioned, the West Coast Haunters Convention is all about the charity. They help kids with autism, and they help kids with hearing issues. And, Ed, I believe you have another grant that you are doling out here to yet another lucky recipient.
Yes. Today we're going to be giving Brett Wunderlich, who is with Northwest Regional ESD. That's the Education Service District that serves Portland?
Washington County, Columbia, Clatsop, and Tillamook counties.
Very good. Brett will be using the money. We're giving him a check for $550 to do what with it, Brett?
Well, we're going to use the money to buy custom ear molds for kids who are having difficulty, families that are having difficulty affording them.
Excellent. Well, we're glad you applied and hope the money helps help those kids that need the ear molds.
I'm sure it will. I'm happy, and they'll be very happy to have a set of ear molds from you guys.
And this is, again, once again, another idea and another great example of what the West Coast Haunters Convention does. Brett, want to congratulate you for being the recipient of this.
Thank you guys again very, very much.
Absolutely. And Ed Roberts, again, thank you very much for having a convention like this, not just for profit, but for helping everyone else out there.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Drew. Folks, if you have a chance, come out to the West Coast and see what we do. We scare differently.
That they do. Once again, Drew Badger here live, West Coast Haunters Convention, beautiful Portland, Oregon, and we are out.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following sponsors. Screamline Studios, Gantom Lighting, Dark Imaginings, Von Caron Productions, Haunt Pay, Necrotic Creations, Ticket Leap, Haunter's Digest, and Creepy Collection. We would also like to thank Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse, as well as the Forga hosts, including Storm, Rants and More, HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, Actor Trainer, and Traveling Actor Troupe. For more information, check out MaulMonsters.com. That's MaulMonsters.com. Drew Badger, Actor Trainer and Consultant. Find out more at RabbitBadger.org. and Jerry Vane, the Hauntstrumentalist, for all your heavy metal and haunt needs. JerryVane.com. And finally, you, the listener. Without you, we are nothing.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.